Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Knows the way I am. I am a conservative. I will make sure the children do not get age-inappropriate content, okay? I will fight for the child, make sure, because nobody wants someone else to come in and indoctrinate their child, and no one wants somebody else to come in and provide pornographic material to their child. So people know where I'm at, and I'm going to be there. I'm not shy of it, of what I do. So I appreciate your support.
This is Kevin Adams, who is the incumbent in School District 1 for the Escambia County Public Schools. I still use Escambia County School District because they did that rebrand, gosh, several years ago now, where they're ECPS instead of ECSD. And just you pick a name, I learn that name, you don't get to change that name. But, you know, maybe I'm just... That's kind of how I am. So whatever. The school district in Escambia County, the one whose funding will not be changed even if we pass the property tax referendum in the fall. So Kevin Adams is running against Aaron Toler, also, of course, District 1. This is a forum that I moderated on Friday, their introductory statements. He says, I'll protect your kids from inappropriate material. She says...
Hi, my name is Aaron Toler. I'm a former Escambia County teacher. I taught at Woodham Middle School from 2014 to 17. I've got a degree in music education. I was the band director there. I loved teaching, and I hated being a teacher because our system has some real problems. And we're seeing this around this county, we're seeing this around the state, we're seeing this around this nation, that quality teachers are getting burnt out too quickly because they're not getting the support and the professional courtesy that they deserve. So I'm running to try to reshape our policy in the district to make it more supportive for our teachers and to try to get the partisanship out of our education policy.
So it's a really interesting matchup because, you know, Kevin is, by all accounts, a Republican's Republican. Aaron is, even by her own self-description, a Democrat. And the issues that they think are important, their take on several of those issues are exactly diametrically opposed. But, you know, it kind of came out over the course of this. We spent about an hour, I guess, with them. And then there was about a half hour with the District 2 representative candidates for the State House, John Fay and Trey McMullen. But unfortunately, kind of for the forum, it was put on by the Women for Responsible Legislation, great local group of ladies who make the best pumpkin bread. Oh, they pay me in pumpkin bread, and I will always do their forums. The president of the club makes this pumpkin bread that I can just... Anyway, I don't want to tell you too much. It's way too important to me. But anyway, they put on these things and they're fantastic. And they've asked me to be their moderator the last couple of times. In any case, it was a little disappointing because the opponents of Paul Fetsko and also of David Williams were not participants in the discussion, which I always think is frustrating because I want to hear from both sides. But, you know, I like people who run. I think you should always have a choice. And whether I agree with somebody's viewpoints or not, I still like that they run. So I appreciate Aaron being there. And I thought that the opponents of Paul Fetsko and David Williams really, you know, should have been there. But they weren't. So we mostly don't have any opposition to them. Anyway, another question that I asked was about, you know, the loss of students and the loss of revenue and how that's impacting the school district.
Start with an easy one. The loss of students due to the voucher system and or homeschooling or other means, it's obviously caused a financial hole for the district. You have, some would argue, too much facility, not enough customer. But you tell me, what is your solution to this problem?
So that's the question, you know, which obviously I'm being sarcastic when I say this is an easy problem to fix. But, hey, start with the important stuff. David Williams.
The solution to that is to make sure that Escambia County presents the best option for the parents in Escambia County. We do an outstanding job of educating our students. When our school grades come out in the next few months, you're going to be really amazed at the things that we are able to do. Competition is good. We always want parents to have that choice, but we want public education to be that best choice. And we're going to continue to have those career academies and those things that students are interested in to be able to further themselves and be college and career ready, which is something that we do better than anyone else, is have our students college and career ready.
So it's kind of a denial of the problem. I mean, you know, no offense to Dave Williams, I like the man, but, you know, that's kind of ignoring the problem. You know, we just need to keep being great. Well, apparently that's not working, right? Compared to competition from private or homeschooling, the district has not been great in the eyes of the parents who are now able to take their kids wherever they want because the money is available to let them pay for whatever they want, or at least a significant portion of whatever they want. Paul Fetsko, D2.
I'm in favor of choice, always have been. Choice is not an opponent. They are someone that has a vested interest also. Parents need to make the choice for their child, whether it's public, private, or parochial. And they are the ones that get to choose. We need to make sure that they choose us because they see the opportunities we have. They know everything that we can provide, we do provide. We continue to improve, as David alluded. We're probably going to have the highest school grades that we've had in the history of the school grading coming out this year, which shows that we're going in the right trajectory. We need to continue that, and we need people to know that.
Okay, this is also sort of a denial of the problem. I mean, he's saying that the school district is better than you think it is. School grades are going to come out, and they're going to show that, and we've made a lot of accomplishments, and that's fine. But the question was, well, what if, you know, people continue to leave the school district? What if that continues to be a problem? You know, what are you going to do about it? And again, not really an answer to that problem. Aaron Toller, the challenger for District 1.
So the question we've got to ask is, why are students leaving our schools in the first place? I mean, we have the best teachers in the world right here in Escambia County. We have these career programs. We have these fine arts programs that are high achieving. So what's not to like? Well, the fact is, we've allowed our public schools to become an extension of local partisan politics. And that's happened, again, here and at the national level. You got political pundits who are trying to politicize our schools when it should just be about good education policy. That's costing us our integrity by letting everything turn political. I mean, we've got representatives sitting up on the dais at the monthly meetings loudly proclaiming their partisan allegiance. I'm sorry, it's not appropriate. I don't care what party you are. I will tell you all right now, I'm a lifelong registered Democrat, but that has nothing to do with my education policy, and there's plenty of room, big tent, for plenty of Republicans to join us.
So she at least acknowledges the problem, right? She recognizes that there's an issue, but then she says it's because we've allowed the schools to become so hyperpartisan that people are leaving over issues like they don't want to see the libraries get rid of books, or, you know, transgender policy, or, you know, other political things that come up. And of course, her opponent is, I would say Kevin is very partisan. You know, he's, as much as she's been openly Democrat, he's openly Republican, especially on these kind of flashpoint culture war sorts of issues. So I think Aaron's right, but in the wrong direction. The reason we didn't have our kids in public school is because, partially at least, quality. But that was true, you know, not just here. That was true in, you know, elsewhere we've lived as well, in Oregon particularly. But, you know, even in Arizona, my wife homeschooled in part because we believed that our ability to do it was going to be better than the public school system. But also values, not because the school districts were too right, but because the school districts were too left, because of issues that we care about, you know, issues of the importance of faith, the centrality of faith, the, you know, beliefs about the origins of human beings, beliefs about sexuality and sexual morality and what was going to be taught or perpetuated in the schools. And frankly, you know, whether we wanted our kids hanging out with all the regular kids and learning what they knew, God love them, or whether we thought it was better for them to hang out with us and learn what we knew. So I think Aaron is in the wrong direction. I think the people that are leaving the school district aren't leaving it because it's too conservative or too partisan to the right. I think because historically it's been too partisan to the left, but they've never had the opportunity to leave the government monopoly of schools and go to a school district or a school service that was more right, more religious, more faith friendly, or even just plain neutral. So although I agree that partisanship is a problem, I think that the diagnosis is in the wrong direction. You know, it's the same with the college university system. If people avoided it, it wasn't because it was, you know, for political reasons. It wasn't because it was too conservative. It's because it was too liberal. Anyway, Kevin Adams, he's going to give the answer.
You have to provide those choice options to allow the kids that can go 100 miles per hour to do the 100 miles per hour. But you also have to bring in those wraparound services for them children in poverty. We've done an excellent job of working with the Children's Trust to have those wraparound services for tutoring. We increased our community partnership schools. Pine Forest is now one, Bellevue is another one. Because those children live in poverty, they need a lot more resources than what my children would need. So we got to offer those choice options that the parents want to go for, you know, with their kids, but also bring in the resources to help those kids that live in those pockets of poverty, high crime areas.
I'm not sure how that's an answer either. I was kind of frustrated with a lot of the answers that I got in Friday from everybody. I mean, sometimes it did fine, but in the early going, it wasn't great. I agree, you know, we need to provide as much help as we can for, you know, underperforming kids in underperforming schools. But historically, the underperforming schools and minorities particularly has been the reason for supporting vouchers. Because, you know, if you're in a school district or a school system or a school that is not good for your kid, those are especially the ones you want to give the freedom to go pick a private school because that private school is going to do better for them. And so, you know, the underprivileged, underserved, most in need are exactly the ones that you want to give the ability to flee the system so that they can go find a good education. Those are the parents who are usually screaming for it because they cannot afford it on their own. And they're the ones who recognize the problems most vividly because they're typically in the worst schools. So I was kind of disappointed in the first pass. So I asked again, because sometimes that's what you do.
I want to ask sort of the same question, but in a little bit different way, which is, let's imagine that you cannot effectively compete against private and homeschool, and this transition continues, and we keep losing students. At that point, what is your preference to do with the facilities? Do you look at closing schools? What do you want to do when push comes to shove, if it does, and this financial slash population problem becomes more pressing?
Yeah, right. If it keeps going, because you have not shown any real evidence that you're fixing this problem, okay? I mean, I'm not saying they're not trying. I'm not saying they don't care. I'm just saying the basic problem, from my perspective, is you've had a government monopoly for a long time. Then you had a little bit of voucher competition. And then you had a lot of homeschool and private school voucher competition. And as a result, you lost students because your product is not as good in the perception of the one client that matters the most, the parent. And that's not likely to change anytime soon. I think there are a lot of people who are trying really hard to make the school system better. I'm not challenging that. But when you've had an artificial monopoly protecting you against competition, it's going to take a while for the ones who are finally free to avail themselves of the alternative to go do that. And then whatever's left, you got to handle it. So I think more shrinkage is coming. You know, more loss is coming. So what are you going to do if that happens? Are you going to close schools? Aaron Toller.
So, I mean, there is no good answer here. We don't want to close facilities. We don't want to take away the schools. They're there for a reason. You know, we've got proximity issues. For students who live in that area, where are they going? The reality, though, is we're probably facing that. We're looking at massive budget shortfalls, and there's a very real chance that we will have to close schools. It's my last option. But if that's where we end up, then the best thing we can do is just be thoroughly transparent about the process. What's our reasoning? How are we choosing which schools we're closing? Where are those students going? Where is that staff going? How are we getting them there? How are we best serving them? And why do we think this is the right call? I hope it doesn't come to this, but I'm terrified that it's going to. And so the best I can do is promise to be transparent about it if and when we get to that point.
I mean, I appreciate that honesty. Yeah, it's going to happen almost certainly. I hope it doesn't. I wish it wouldn't, but it's going to. And then we're going to have to do this in as transparent a way possible. Now, I love kids. I love teachers. I taught for a long time. I think that the school district should shrink. I think that the schools should change because I think that we would have a better educational outcome if more kids were in private or homeschool environments, if parents were doing more using the voucher system, so forth, if we expanded capacity in that. So to me, seeing the school district, the public school system shrink is not a problem. It's actually evidence that we're doing the right thing. I know that's not what these folks necessarily want to hear, but that's actually, I think, evidence of success. The fact that you're giving parents the ability to choose an alternative and then they choose it. Kevin Adams.
Got right size of district. I mean, that's where it's at. So if your district's built 40,000 students and you drop down to 30, you got a right size. And now superintendent's already dropped a number of positions, I think close to 100. So he's cut out a lot of the traveling. So starting to save there, but in the future, we'll probably stand up Zazak and we'll have to do what we gotta do. So the vouchers are here to stay. and it's been an impact not only in Escambia County School District, all 67 school districts across the state of Florida this is impacting. I mean, they're planning on closing schools all across the state of Florida, but you just have to remove that excess capacity.
And again, right. It's going to continue. It's a natural byproduct of eliminating or cutting down the power of a monopoly. You know, we had government hamburgers for a long time, and you paid for them, and the government delivered them, and it was okay, you know, and now we've got the ability to go buy private hamburgers. And guess what? Competition is showing you that there's more than just fast food out there. And no offense against, you know, cafeteria burgers at the public school. They're delightful in our memory, but they're not the best burger in the universe. Anyway, if you follow the metaphor. Paul Fetsko roughly had the same thing, although he did mention, do I have time to do this? I want to let him play. Let's take a quick break. I want to make sure I have time and I don't run through the ads. Because Paul's answer on this is actually very interesting. We'll come back to it in a second. I'm Andrew McKay.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer at a beverage manufacturing plant, he starts his day knowing every line is ready to run. Because Grainger delivers the industrial-grade products he needs to keep mixers, conveyors, and packaging equipment moving. With Grainger's vast selection of bearings, belts, and motors, he keeps operations running smoothly, so nothing grinds to a halt. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At FPL, our teams are working every day, inspecting, upgrading, and strengthening the grid, installing smart sensors that spot problems before they become outages, keeping your lights on, your devices charged, your world running. You may not see us, but our work never stops. Behind every switch that powers on, every moment that just works. Because reliability isn't an option, it's a commitment. FPL, working for you every single day. Learn more at fpl.com/value.
Please be advised, you may want to stop eating the following foods immediately. Broccoli, kale, blueberries, quinoa, spinach.
I thought those were good for me.
What's healthy for one person may cause inflammation for another. So how do you know what your body actually needs? That's where Viome comes in. Viome is a simple at-home gut health test that analyzes your real-time biology to give you personalized nutrition guidance and custom supplements. Learn more at Viome.com/gut. V as in Victor, Viome.com/GUT. And use coupon code GUTHEALTH50 to save $50 off your purchase.
Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin. Weekdays 4 to 7 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
I like a do da cha-cha.
I just wanted to make sure I had time in the hour. So I was asking the question, and John, you so politely pointed out that I just asked the same question in a different way. Like, well, since nobody really answered the question, let's ask it again. What are you going to do as kids continue to leave public school to go to private school or homeschool and funding goes down? Are you going to close schools? What are you going to do? Paul Fetsko for District 2, I actually thought had an interesting answer. And he explained how they have actually closed schools.
We have cut. We closed, I think, 14 schools in 17 years. So we've done that. We've learned how to do it, how to do it well, to make sure that when students are at a site that's closed, that they go to a better site, that things improve. We know how to do that. I've been thinking about this for a while, and what do we do with facilities after they're there? I think that we have a lot of options. One of the things I'd really like to see us do, and we tried and talked about it years ago, was to take any surplus building and turn it into a low rent, low cost housing facility for new teachers, to be able to do that so that we have people moving in who have college debt and other things else, can't find affordable housing anywhere else. If we do that and we set up some of these things, you know, they've done it in other communities. We are in an area or in a way that we can make that happen.
I mean, it's an interesting idea. Turn them into apartments for teachers who cannot afford, you know, regular apartments. I don't know why you couldn't do that already in some schools. I mean, if you have a school that's only at 70% capacity, you know, maybe you turn some of the rooms into rentals or, I mean, dorms for teachers. I don't know. It's an interesting idea. I would have never thought about it. But, you know, why couldn't teachers live in the school if you know, the capacity is there for it. And somebody might say, well, Andrew, you know, what would you do? I'll tell you what I would do. First of all, I would do everything I could to change what schools do to adapt to what parents want. Okay? Which means stop being led by the unions so much. That's one thing. But just be flexible. You know, hybrid models. People love magnet schools. Clearly, we're over demand for magnet schools. Well, more of those. Or hybrid. Like, it can be, you know, a magnet program within a public school like they're doing at PHS. You know, flexibility, variety, choice, those are the things that are going to get the public school system as a more desirable product.
News, I'm Gianna Gelosi. President Trump and Iran's lead negotiator signing an agreement to end the war and reopen the Strait of Hormuz, but the specific terms of the deal have not been released, but...
We know that the agreement calls for a ceasefire on all fronts, including Lebanon. U.S. officials say Israel will be allowed to respond if attacked by Iran-backed Hezbollah.
Fox's Trey Yings. There's set to be a formal signing ceremony in Switzerland Friday, where nearby world leaders are gathering for the G7 on the agenda, meeting with Zelensky of Ukraine about ending the war in his country.
It's been 4 years of war now. The president, though, going into this meeting, seemed very optimistic about bringing this war to an end. He said that maybe we can do something. So perhaps that is the momentum he's feeling from the Iran deal. But he seemed optimistic going into this meeting.
And that is Fox's Aisha Hosni reporting. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got 78 degrees right now. Cloudy skies. Our forecast with Marion Caldwell is up here in just a few minutes. Well, public school enrollment is declining all across Northwest Florida. Local school districts are pushing back. Escambia County schools are down about 6% since the 2022 school year. Santa Rosa and Okaloosa are seeing similar drops. Superintendent Keith Leonard tells Channel 3 the district is being conservative with its projections.
This year, what we budgeted for is about 33,000 students, which would be 300 less students than we had last year. And that's just to be conservative.
And Leonard does say the district is actively reaching out to parents and hosting events to showcase school options. School funding, of course, is tied directly to student population, meaning fewer students. Means fewer dollars. Florida Town Road, just north of Diamond Street in Pace, is closed this morning after a large tree fell across the road. Santa Rosa County Road and Bridge crews are expected to clear that tree sometime today. In the meantime, drivers heading north should detour via Diamond Street to Willow Street to Thornton Street to reconnect with Florida Town Road. A 29-year-old Pensacola woman is behind bars after allegedly beating two children with a metal broomstick early on Monday morning. Escambia County deputies say Carla Mason was hitting the children at the Oakwood Terrace Apartments when the broomstick broke and then continued hitting them even with the broken piece, leaving cut wounds on their legs. Both children suffered non-life-threatening injuries. Mason is charged with aggravated child abuse and resisting arrest and is being held without bond. Now, drivers that wonder how Santa Rosa deputies actually enforce the 20-mile-per-hour speed limit on the Navarre Causeway have their answer now. Sheriff Bob Johnson says the geography of the two bridges makes it work out perfectly.
There's two bridges going on to Navarre Beach. Mm-hmm. So you have the big one with the arch in it, and then you have one that's flat after it. And basically what they do is they'll sit in between the bridges, and they'll run radar coming off the bridge, and then they'll turn around and then pull them over after the second bridge, and that's outside the bird zone, and then write the ticket there.
And Sheriff Bob Johnson there, he says the reduced speed zone is only about a half mile long. The limit's in place to protect black skimmer birds nesting along the causeway. He says deputies have already written tickets this season, and they'll continue doing so throughout the black skimmer season. Well, qualifying for elected seats in Century is over. Chris Bryan with this story. He says it was a good effort.
And with no opposition, three Century Town Council members were automatically selected recently after no one else qualified for the seats. Those elected were seat three incumbent Shalisa Abraham, seat four incumbent John Bass, seat five incumbent Sparky Harrison. All three will be sworn in for their new four-year terms in January 2027. Chris Bryan, News Radio 92.3.
Thank you very much, Chris. And right now, 78 degrees. Let's check in with Marion Caldwell, who's got our forecast.
A soggy start to our Tuesday morning as showers and storms start to spread out over the area. Temperatures this morning starting out in the 80s, making way for low 80s for high temperatures this afternoon. Those clouds and that rain will keep us on the cooler side. And rain chances staying in the forecast tonight, Wednesday, Thursday, all the way through Friday and through the start of the weekend. Flash flooding will be a potential as we continue to see this unsettled pattern stick around in Northwest Florida. I'm meteorologist Marion Caldwell. We are WEAR First Warning Weather.
Right now, we've got 78 degrees, cloudy skies. Our next news at 6 a.m. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Shares of SpaceX climbed yesterday, their first full day of trading after jumping 20% in their debut on Friday. SpaceX completed the biggest IPO in history, raising $75 billion before underwriters exercised their overallotment. CEO Elon Musk posted on X that the company might be able to reach approximately $1 trillion in revenue in 2030. Qualcomm CEO Cristiano Amon said on CNBC that the company is working on over 40 designs of new AI devices. Amon said these include jewelry, earbuds with cameras in them, pins that people wear, and watches. Centene said it has offered buyouts to some employees as the health insurer grapples with higher medical costs, funding cuts, and membership declines. The company did not indicate how many employees were offered buyouts or how much it is aiming to reduce its workforce. Centene is the largest Medicaid provider. Futures are currently mixed after the Dow closed at a record high following the U.S.-Iran peace deal. That's Your Money Now.
Is your house your dream home? Or at least, is it on the way there? Maybe it's time for a change. Maybe all you really need to turn your house into your dream home is an appliance upgrade. When it's time for an upgrade, then it's time to visit Topps Appliance in Milton. They're locally owned and operated. They have top-of-the-line freezers, refrigerators, dishwashers, and stoves to dependable washers and dryers. Topps Appliance carries the brands you know and trust, like GE, Hotpoint, Speed Queen, and more. Topps Appliance in Milton. They offer delivery and installation, something you won't get from the big box stores. And they have many items in stock, so you can take your new appliance the very same day. Topps Appliance. Check them out at toppsappliance.net on Highway 90 in Milton, just east of Stewart Street. Turning your house into your dream home. Topps Appliance.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 91% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for the summer and fall semester. Go to pensacolastate.edu. That's pensacolastate.edu to learn more.
Did you know? Florida West Economic Development Alliance exists to deliver measurable results for Escambia County. Our focus is simple: growing local businesses and attracting new ones that create jobs, increase wages, and bring private investment to our community. Every project is evaluated on its ROI to taxpayers. Florida West works to ensure Escambia County remains competitive for high-value employers today and for decades to come. Learn more at floridawesteda.com.
You know that feeling when a headline sounds big,
but nobody explains what it actually means for your day?
That's where Andrew McKay comes in.
News Radio 92.3, I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News.
Pensacola Morning News helps you understand what happened overnight, what's happening here at home, and why it matters before the rest of the day even gets started.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay, weekdays 5 to 9 a.m.
News Radio 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620.
Informative, local, dependable.
News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Good to have you with us yesterday. Had a great chance to talk to Santa Rosa Sheriff Bob Johnson. Sheriff, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. Good to have you. So, we had probably the, I don't know, very concerning thing happen because people who were at the Milton High School graduation may not have realized, but y'all did, that a registered sex offender, 50-year-old, showed up?
Yeah, you know, I usually say, wow, that's so surprising, and, you know, I can't believe something happened, but, you know, this kind of stuff like this, you can't make up. You really can't. I mean, I'm pretty sure he knew he was a sex offender and still goes to a high school graduation. I mean, I got nothing on this one.
What is it, 1,000 feet? You can't be within 1,000 feet of a school. Is that right?
Correct. Yes.
So he knows. I mean, he's lived his life. This is not some brand new thing. Like, this is some new law that got passed after the fact against him. This is, he's gone through this. And the offense is from years ago, right? It's not a recent offense either, right?
Correct. And, you know, the funny part is, you know, he goes to it, I guess, thinking nobody's going to know. Hey, there's only going to be like, you know, 1,000 people there. So, I mean, nobody's going to recognize him. And goes and then gets surprised when he gets hooked up. I mean, I can't make stuff up.
And John, I think, John, you were at this.
I was at the graduation.
How many people were there, do you think?
I mean, the whole home side was filled and the visitor's side was filled in the stadium. So there was a lot of people.
Man. So Did one of your deputies recognize him, or did somebody tip you off, or how did this actually come to pass?
Yeah, I think somebody came to one of our deputies that were working off the off-duty detail and said, hey, this guy's over here. And then that's how...
Makes sense. Wow. All right.
Yeah.
You guys had an interesting opportunity. The Florida immigration director, Anthony Coker, came to Santa Rosa, and you guys met with him?
Yes. Yeah. Great guy. And he's basically the Tom Homan of Florida.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And what went on? What did you guys discuss? Any plans?
He came out to thank us partly for what we have been doing, you know, assisting ICE, and we have a pretty good track record of doing that. And so he just came out and told us about other plans and stuff, i.e. some federal grants that are coming out for equipment, and which we already, you know, I mean, we're already doing that, but we get paid extra by the federal government for assisting ICE in some matters. And, you know, it's a great, way to work with the federal government.
Yeah. And you guys have been, I know you've been kind of leading the edge on a couple of these things, like the whole issue with the driver's license and, you know, finding people that, you know, are not here properly, but they're driving. You know, how is that possible? Well, because of the way they get their licenses issued through the passport system, and, you know, working to reform that. By the way, has that loophole been closed yet? Do you know?
Yes, it has. 100%. They basically passed a law, I think it was, that and it wasn't driver's license, it was registrations. We were stopping people here who entered the country illegally but had a valid Florida tag in their name with no insurance. So they fixed that. So if you're here, you know, illegally, and you don't have a driver's license, you cannot get a Florida tag.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you for correcting me on that. I kind of remember the case dealing with the embassies and all of that kind of stuff. We saw your chief deputy, Randy Tiff, was on Channel 3 last night talking about the shorebirds, 20 miles an hour. Those are cute little birds. I don't think I had ever seen them. They look like a halfway toucan, halfway puffin, but smaller, you know, with that pokey orange bill.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of people complain about that. But, you know, I think we're blessed to have those in our area. We live in a great place. And, you know, there's very few places in the world that have those. And, you know, I think we'd need to protect them. So we tell everybody ad nauseum, you better slow down because we will write you a ticket. And we have written a few.
You know, it's so funny how much we get accustomed to whatever modern convenience we have. And we, you know, wail and moan whenever we don't get the fullest extent of it. But, I mean, 20 miles an hour is still significantly faster than, say, you know, running or horse and buggy, faster even than bicycling for most people. I mean, that's 20 miles an hour is actually quite fast, you know?
And the big part is, too, it's not for 20 miles.
Right.
I mean, you don't have to slow down for 20 miles. You just have to slow down. I think it's maybe, at the most, it's maybe a half a mile, maybe. So, I mean, it's not that big of a deal.
And it's not like traffic is normally roaring across Navarre Causeway to begin with.
Definitely not in the summer. You're not going to hit 70 anyways. But, yeah, but see, we still have people that will, you know, they'll push the limit.
What, just out of curiosity, though, because I do wonder this, on a two-lane causeway, how do you actually enforce that? Because, you know, just the practicality of where your deputy would have to be with the radar gun, with the speed monitor to pull them over. Like, how does that even work?
Yeah, you can sit down. If you notice, there's two bridges going on to Navarre Beach. Mm-hmm. So you have the big one with the arch in it, and then you have one that's flat after it. And basically what they do is they'll sit in between the bridges, and they'll run radar coming off the bridge, and then they'll turn around and then pull them over after the second bridge, and that's outside the bird zone, and then write the ticket there.
Okay, so it's, so is a double duty then. It's they're not disrupting the birds where they write the ticket, but it does afford them a place to, you know, issue the ticket that's not, again, not connected to the birds, but they can catch them before. They can basically capture them before that and ticket them later.
Correct.
Now, Sheriff, I know you didn't happen to be listening because you were busy doing things that actually matter in life a little earlier, but I do want to give you just a taste of an interaction that was captured by both parties on video. We played some of this audio last hour between the Bay Minette Ice Cream Shop owner and the Bay Minette Ice Cream Shop customer and their disagreement over quality of life. There's a purpose for me sharing this, but here, let me just play you a little sample of the public.
The fact of the matter is, honestly, I'm telling you, as plain as I know how to tell you, if you continue to mess with my business, you will live to regret it.
Okay, and I'm going to call the police and tell them you just threatened
251-580-2559. Call them.
I have the
phone
number.
Call them, Daniel.
I have the phone
number. Call them. Call them.
I can't. You got to
leave. Call them.
You have to leave.
No, call them. I don't have to do a thing. I'm going to be 40 white and free over here. Call them.
Here's the problem. Here's the problem, lady.
You don't worry about my problem.
I'm going to back up before you try to...
I think that's my favorite line that she utters in the entire 15-minute video. And the only reason I wanted to play this for you is because, Sheriff, I know you go out on patrol at least about once a week, maybe more often. You've been obviously out on patrol a lot. Characterize for me, if you will. I know you deal with a lot of good people, a lot of normal people. My worry is that this is far more normal in the population and amongst the people that your deputies have to deal with than I'd care to admit.
Oh, yeah, 100%. 100%. If we could get rid of the calls where, you know, we respond to somebody's house or business and it's over an argument over something stupid, my guys could do, you know, I mean, they'd have a lot of time off. Let's just put it that way.
And you and I have talked about this so many times that how many times a homicide or a battery, assault, you know, comes from this. I mean, I was watching this thinking somebody's going to get shot. I'm scared.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, you think that's bad, arguing over ice cream and stuff? We actually had a call where a guy complained, called the law enforcement officer out to his home because his neighbor's pecan tree was dropping pecans in his yard. Yeah.
Wow.
Deal with that one. you can't make stuff up. You're just like, and you called us for this. I got nothing.
I always think
about
what, because I got a son who's going to be a cop, I think about what he's going to have to deal with. I think about what y'all deal with. You know, the basics of de-escalation, take a breath, back up, leave the area, separate. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like. Yeah. Basic life skills that some vast majority of our population would do well to learn.
Yeah, a vast part of the population. Mm-hmm. It really, you know, it comes from, I think, for some people, a sense of entitlement. And don't get me wrong, if you think you need law enforcement, call us.
Absolutely.
But there are some things that, you know, I mean, you just got to man up and handle yourself sometimes. And there's some stuff that only God can handle, like having pecans drop off a tree into somebody's yard. I mean, you know, I'm surprised the officer didn't run back to his car and start calling for SWAT. I mean, I don't know what they're expecting.
Right.
You know?
That makes a funny image, though. Like, you know, your whole team geared up, ARs or MP4s or whatever they're dealing with, you know, and they're all circled around this one pecan falling on the ground.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Figure out, you know, yard of origin or something. Anyway, I just wanted to me, the big takeaway from this incident was, well, A, it was entertaining and it was horrifying and it was sad and all the things. Yeah. To me, it was, and this is what our cops have to deal with all the time. Because, look, you know, the folks that I interact with on a daily basis are pretty normal, pretty well-educated, pretty decent, you know, right? This is, but it seems like the exception, but in some parts, it's not the exception. It's just people.
Yeah, it's just people. And, you know, and as I said before, just when you think you've seen everything, then something new comes along. And that's one of the good parts also about being in law enforcement. I mean, you're not sitting in a factory doing the same repetitive action over and over. You never know what kind of call you're going to get, ever. Yeah. You have no clue.
Absolutely. Sheriff Bob Johnson, Senator Sheriff Bob Johnson, as always, sir, thank you for the time. Thanks for doing what you do to keep us safe and sane, and we appreciate it. We'll talk to you again next week.
Yes, sir. Take care.
Most definitely. 5:50 here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. If you are thinking about making a real estate transaction, buying a home, selling a home, doing both, moving to the beach, moving to the city, moving to the country, going to eat a lot of peaches, you know, whatever the case. I'm sorry. It's just song lyrics that are in my head. Whatever the case may be, or maybe acquiring a rental property, short-term, long-term, whatever the case may be, helping your kids buying for the first time, you know, whatever. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty are there for you. 209 homes sold last year. That's four a week, week after week. They also buy homes, of course, as well. One of the things she always talks about is when it comes to new homes, you think you don't need a realtor. And, I mean, it's true, you can just go buy from the builder, but the advantage of using a realtor is that you will get the best price possible, and she knows all the deals, all the angles, all the ways that they might buy down, like, your points, or, you know, maybe they don't, I mean, they might do that, but they might also, you know, increase the level of the blinds or the flooring, or because, you know, these are all kinds of considerations or concessions that you can work on in your home. And then when you actually take possession of that new home that they've built for you, she will make sure that you get everything just right. And she'll say, well, you know, no, that's normal, or no, that we need to fix and put a blue tape on it. And she says, I'm the blue tape queen when you walk through a new home. So even if you're buying a brand new home, building a home, it's great to have a good quality realtor who really knows what she's doing. She and her team at Leavenrinke Realty, Christina Leavenworth, are just excellent, great resource. 786-3996.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us on Friday at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
Join Kenny Chartel from Affordable Automotive Gulf Breeze for Car Care this morning at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Kenny will be sharing his years of expertise on car maintenance, as well as tips and loads of great advice that'll keep your car running in top shape. Whether foreign or domestic, don't miss Car Care today at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Making the wrong choice can be very costly. Choosing the wrong plumbing company can cost you a lot of money. Hi, I'm Judy Lacey with Barberry Plumbing, and we've been repairing Pensacola's plumbing problems for over 50 years. We are the local originator of the flat rate pricing system, so you don't have to pay by the hour, and there are no surprises. When you need a plumber, make the right choice and call Barberry Plumbing. We will make your plumbing great again.
License number RF11067749.
You're talking about it. We're talking about it.
The midterm elections.
Who will win? Who will not?
It'll all be covered on News Radio 92.3.
This is not the kind of answer I'm looking for from you.
All right, John, I'm going to find out what kind of a Southerner you really are.
What?
Time to find out. I think we're going to put you to the test. You ready?
Oh, yeah, this is easy.
What was that line from?
Replay.
You don't know.
Well, right. I wasn't really paying attention.
I'll give you another chance. I'll let you redeem. Let's see. Really?
This is not the kind of answer I'm looking for from you.
You don't have it, do you?
I can see the face of the guy.
Can you name him?
No, older gentleman, Days Robert of Duvall. Thunder. Yeah.
You
it's
just
not
said
Days
it.
Of Thunder.
Of course it is.
Oh.
It's when he's looking at the drip and the antifreeze underneath the car on the brand new car they're getting ready to put in the race. Says, this is not the kind of answer I'm looking for from you. John, you say you're a NASCAR fan.
Excuse me. I got it right. Thank you.
You got there eventually with help.
You ain't helped me. You ain't done no help.
5:55 on News Radio 92.3. No, you didn't get there. You didn't get there. You got there. And I love that you're like, well, it's the old guy. I see his face, like Days of Thunder. I'm like, you're there. Just go ahead and do it. You're there. All right. 437-1620. Oh, I got a really interesting text. Somebody says, you know, one of the things we could do to make the schools more flexible would be, why don't we have a school that serves the parents who have odd schedules? You know, make the not even, you know, this person said from 7:30 to 5:30, you know, so like the work day, so people who have an 8-to-5 job can actually drop their kids off at school. That's one thing. You know, what about parents who are after hours? I mean, why couldn't you have a school where that school, you know, teaches people, I don't know, kids from like 3 to 9 at night or 3 to 10? I don't know if that would work.
I need somebody to do like 4 to noon.
Yeah, I mean, what it, you do, I know. I mean, look, it's a schedule that some adults are on. Maybe it wouldn't work. I don't know, but it'd be something you might try, or you might try it as a pilot program. You said, well, nobody'd want to teach that way. I don't know whether they would or not. Offer it. The first question is whether parents want it. The second question is, can you staff it? And the third question is it good or bad for kids to be on that schedule? You know, should all kids be on the exact same schedule of going to school from, you know, 8 to 3 or whatever? I don't know. But you know, those are the kind of questions that you just don't ask when you operate with a monopoly. Because you're not thinking about what can I do to scratch and claw and grab as many customers as I can and satisfy them any way I can. You're comfortable in your government monopoly. And that's been the school, you know, the public school system for, you know, 100 years. Anyway, I thought it was an interesting idea. I'd never thought about it, but I thought it was interesting. You know, what could you do to serve differently, to serve effectively, to really meet the people at their need? You know, that's what we do with the community schools, which is a great thing. You know, but just thinking about that in a different way. Well, why does school have to always be from this time to this time? Well, so all the students can be together. You could have all the students together on second shift. You know, why not? I don't know. It's possible. Well, Andrew, you know there's a bias built into the resistance to ask those questions, which is we've just always done it this way. Well, the way we've always done it is not doing so great right now. Maybe it's time to think about another way, because if you won't, someone else will. That's why private schools and homeschools are competing so effectively against. This is, by the way, if you're just tuning in now, first half hour of the show, I spent talking about this forum we did on Friday for the school board that I moderated. And the first couple of questions we talked about were exactly this issue of competition, monopoly, choice, and what it's doing to the population and the funding and, you know, what needs to be done to accommodate it. And the answers from, you know, the folks who were there were not particularly adequate. Even though this is absolutely one of the most pressing problems in front of the school board right now. Hey, if you're thinking about that next, and you can always listen on the podcast page, okay, at newsradio923.com or on the News Radio Pensacola app. If you're thinking about buying that next vehicle, Frontier Motors specializes in good quality used cars, maybe a year or two or three young and, you know, 10 to 30, maybe 40,000 miles. You're usually going to be the second owner. You might be the third owner, but it's going to be in great condition. They warranty all their cars to 100,000 miles or 10 years. They want to see you. They want to talk to you. They want to help you. That if they don't have what you want, you know, they got about 300 cars. They don't have a car for everybody, exactly. They're going to have a lot of cars, though, and if they don't have exactly what you want, they go looking for people all the time. Maybe you want one in a different color or with more miles for less money or with fewer miles for more money, you know, whatever the case may be, or a different trim package. You know, they're close but not quite. Well, send them looking. They're kind of like a concierge for you. They can go looking for a car for you, and then they'll, you know, text you or say, hey, I found one here. This is what it looks like. What do you think? And you'll be like, yeah, I'd be interested. And they'll buy it. And then if you don't buy it, well, they'll sell it to somebody else. But, I mean, you know, that's how they work. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for 29 years, right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. Oh, one more quick thing just to follow up. That Paul Fetzko comment about turning, you know, closed schools into some kind of a dorm for, you know, under-earning teachers or something like that. I thought he was actually going to say community centers, which would be a perfect use for a lot of schools, right? Also, I give credit to Aaron Toler, who is a Democrat by her own admission, showing up and talking to a very Republican audience and kind of getting the other side cheered for. You know, she didn't get booed, but the other side got cheered for. I always give credit to people who show up in a situation where, you know, it's not exactly easy for them, and they stand for their convictions and say things and don't try to shade it. I appreciate that.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.